from Ezekiel 34. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search out for my sheep. I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and all inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall it be their grazing ground, grazing land. And they shall lie down in the good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. It is not enough for you to feed on a good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet. And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord to them, Behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be your prey. I will judge between the sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Read Psalm 119 responsibly. Let my cry come before you, O Lord.
Give me understanding according to your word.
Let my supplication come before you.
Deliver me according to your word.
Let my lips utter praise.
For you teach me your statutes.
Let my tongue sing of your word.
For all your commandments are righteous.
Let your hand be ready to help me.
For I have chosen your precepts.
I long for your salvation, O Lord.
And your law is my delight.
Let my soul live that it may praise you.
And let your ordinances help me.
I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant.
For I do not forget your commandments.
Second reading is in 1 Timothy. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, I have received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be glory, honor, and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? Alleluia. You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. I invite the children that are present to come forward for a children's message. Man, the Bears' future is looking promising, buddy. All right. Hello over there. Good to see you. Yep. Make sure you guys can see. Tonight, you probably already noticed that we're talking about lost and found, right? In fact, I have a sign here. This is the Oasis sign, and it says lost and found, right? Some schools have lost and found table or box where they'll say, "This is where it is." This past week, there was a rainy day. Remember that, Scarlett? And then you got home, you said, "Oh, I left my lunchbox in Baba's car," right? But it wasn't there, right? Did you find it? You didn't find it yet? Okay. There was, just so you big folks know, there was a delay because of the thunderstorms and the lightning. They didn't let the kids come home right away, right? So we haven't forgotten about it. We're going to keep looking for that, right? Because that's what our scripture lessons for tonight are about the lost getting found. Now, somebody could say, "Well, it's just a lunchbox. We'll just buy you a new one," right? But things are special to us, and we don't like to lose them, right? Yeah, like I saw a couple of posters around town, and then I saw some on the internet. You see this one here? You see this little puppy down here? What's it doing? It's crying. Why is it crying? "I am lost." What does this dog want more than anything else?
He wants to be found.
He wants to be found. He wants to go home. He knows there's somebody that loves him, and he wants to go back home so that he can be with the family, right? Or look at this one here. Lost dog. Dingle, 3 years old, lost since February 10th. That's a long time. Last seen in Central Park. Reward, how much money?
$500
for a dog? Well, yeah, because why? You ever lose anything? Maybe a dog or a cat? I mean, some parents, if they lose a kid, that's a big thing, isn't it? Yeah, the lost needs to be found. And we lose things. Sometimes it might be like some money, or it might be a watch. We had a fender bender with one of our cars. Somebody ran into my wife's car. And so we had to get it fixed. And so my wife took our garage door openers out of there. And guess what happened? She said, "I can't remember where I put them." It was lost, right? How are you going to get? And one of the garage door openers was to Nora and Hope and Scarlett's house, right? And one was for ours. I mean, so it's kind of a big deal, right? I suppose we could go out and buy a whole new, brand new garage door opener set, huh? But guess what happened? She looked and looked and looked, and what happened? She found it. Seriously. And you should have seen. Do you think when she found it, she went, No. What did she do? And you know what? When she found it, guess who else was happy? I was happy, right? That's what Jesus is saying when he talks about a shepherd and sheep, when he talks about a woman and a coin, when he talks about things that get lost or people that get lost, and when they get found, party time. Everybody should be happy, right? I hope. Yeah. I mean, don't you think that these dogs, if they get found, don't you think they'll be happy? Don't you think there'll be a party? Like if Dingo, if he gets found? I think there's going to be happy people, right? So the next time you lose something, or the next time you find something, I want you to think about how God feels when one of his little children gets lost. I mean, it can happen to any of us, right? We can walk away from God, and then that makes God sad. But he doesn't say, oh, who cares? It's just one of my many kids. No, if any one of you is lost, you know what God will do? He'll do more than $500 reward. He'll send Jesus all the way to earth and to the cross to die for our sins so that we can get found. Now that's a God, that's a Heavenly Father who really loves us a lot, right? So you lose something, you find something, think about how God feels when we get lost, and think about how God feels when we get found, okay? I want to teach you a song. Goes like this. The little woolly lamb went running off pell-mell, and he got lost, and nighttime fell. The shepherd looked around, said, woolly lamb is lost. I'll find my sheep at any cost. The shepherd found his lamb by following his tracks. The other sheep said, welcome back! Welcome back! Huh? Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, sometimes I lose things. And sometimes I'm really lost. Thanks for helping me find what's important. Thanks for finding me. Amen. Thanks for coming up. We don't realize all the different layers of life and how God is intersecting them into a beautiful tapestry. This night, if you weren't at the rally celebration, you missed a wonderful skit about lost and found, and that a person, well, the one thing they can't leave home without, it's not their cell phone, but the living Word of God. And lo and behold, around the adult gift table that we were studying, Daryl Bolfin says, ha, we were out eating, and I lost my hearing aids. And he had to go digging. He dropped his wife off, had to come back to the restaurant, was digging through the trash. They at least gave him some gloves. And he found them both. He said, I can't lose these. This is $5,000. I said, well, I got mine at Costco. And if I lose them, they'll replace them one time for free. That's a good deal, huh? You see, but maybe Daryl has a particular attachment to those particular hearing aids. Sentimental value. Yeah, but I've always had them, or at least for a year or two. So I don't want to get new ones, even if they're going to give them to me free, huh? So he went pursuing, he went seeking, he went looking. When we look at our gospel lesson for tonight, all of our scripture lessons for tonight, what's the bottom line? You know, I don't have to tell you. Lost people matter to God. God is in the lost and found business. And he doesn't write anyone off. No one is a hopeless or lost cause when it comes to our Heavenly Father's kingdom work, to his searching and seeking and finding. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost,
but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Lost, found, dead, alive, deaf and able to hear. Chapter 14 of the Gospel of Luke ends with, whoever has ears to hear, listen. And chapter 15 begins, and so the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to Jesus, being drawn like a magnet draws. They were drawing near to Jesus so that they could listen to him. The religious leaders, the fat cat church people, they're too busy with other matters. They don't want to listen to Jesus. But the sinners always want to listen to Jesus. Always. Being drawn like sheep to their shepherd, like 10 coins in a wedding headdress, like a prodigal son in the far country. God is in the lost and found business. So what's the accusation? This man, not this Messiah Jesus, not this outstanding, amazing rabbi, not this God in flesh made manifest, no, but this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. They don't like the kind of people that Jesus is hanging around with. Outcasts, misfits, dregs. They don't like it. And so they complain. Lost people matter to God. If they don't matter to us, well, it's probably because we're still lost. Sorry to say it, but it's true. God wants all people to be saved. If we don't, well, then we are losing or lost in some preoccupation or another. Lost people matter to God. There was a pastor by the name of Paul, and he was doing hospital visits, and he's walking past the room. He sees a little girl all by herself, kind of young, in the bed. She's evidently just had surgery, maybe broke a bone, and he thinks, I think I recognize her. So he kind of knocks on the door. He goes in and says, I think I know you. You go to our church Sunday school, right? And the little girl looks at him and says, no, I've never gone to church Sunday school my whole life. I've never gone to church, ever. And so the pastor introduced himself, and they had a conversation, this pastor, and he found out her name, Anna, and he found out her age, 9. They had this conversation. And then the pastor looks at little Anna, this 9-year-old, and he says, would it be okay if we prayed before I left? And she said, I guess I'd be fine, but I've never prayed before in my life. And the pastor said, well, Pastor Paul, he goes, no, what I mean is, would it be okay before I left if I prayed for you? And she said, well, I think that'd be fine. Nobody has ever prayed for me, ever. 9 years old, a little girl in the hospital. Nobody has ever taught her to pray, prayed with her, or prayed for her. Well, what do you think Pastor Paul did? He did a little investigating after he left. And sure enough, she lived in the neighborhood by the church. He found out that on one side of the house she lived in and on the other side of the house she lived in were church members. One went to a Catholic church, one went to a Lutheran church. And then he found out that 2 families from his own congregation lived on the same block. So there was an elderly couple in their mid to late 60s who went knocking on the door because the pastor just simply shared the story about little Anna, 9 years old. And they, over the course of weeks, got to know the family, and they said, we'd like you to come to church. And if we can help in any way, if we can help bring Anna to church with us, we'd like to do that. And they let these strangers who became friends bring their 9-year-old daughter to church and to Sunday school. And eventually, Anna got baptized. Eventually, Anna's parents came. Eventually, well, today, Anna is a missionary. Lost people matter to God. I mean, that's the bottom line. You can't read Luke 15. Everybody says, oh, I love Luke 15. You know, the prodigal son story, the 1 out of 100 sheep, the 1 out of 10 coins. It's just beautiful, isn't it? And then we go home and we sit on our laurels. Really. I may be wrong, but knowing the demographics of just Rochester alone, where 1 out of 2 people are not saved for sure, that means there are little Annas, well, really close to us, friends. But we might be too busy. We might be too preoccupied with all kinds of other stuff. In Ezekiel 34, God puts his word into the mouth, into the heart of Ezekiel. So when Ezekiel speaks, he says, thus says the Lord. Don't shoot the messenger, right? Right? So God has given him a word, and he speaks it. Thus says the Lord. And at first, in chapter 34, there's a tremendous, well, God has a bone of contention with the spiritual and political leaders who have been fleecing the flock. They were supposed to take care of the sheep, the people, entrusted into their care, but they didn't. Instead of protecting them, carrying them, feeding them, healing them, oh no. They abused them, took advantage of them, neglected, ignored. And you know what the Lord God says? Enough. I've had enough. I myself will shepherd my sheep. And I will feed them, and I will protect them, and I will search and seek for them. And I will put on the throne one shepherd, the greater son of David, Messiah Jesus, the good shepherd, who will pay the reward, if you will, more than $500 for a dog, to bring the lost back home. The lost back into the fold, the coin in this wedding headdress, like a wedding band, to find it so that what is missing is back whole and complete. I myself will shepherd my sheep. You see who the shepherd is. You see who the sheep are and who we belong to. And God doesn't want any of us to get lost or to stray. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Well, that bothers the good church people, especially the leaders of the church. Because Jesus is keeping company, well, with the unsightly sorts. And so how does Jesus respond? Well, with 3 stories. I mean, Jesus loved to tell stories. And the first story is about a shepherd who leaves 99 in the company of the community and goes out searching, seeking for the one lost lamb. And did you notice that when he finds it, what does he do? The shepherd becomes a beast of burden. I don't know if you caught that. It's a beautiful little picture there. The shepherd becomes a beast of burden, becomes transportation. And so the lamb gets a free ride home. Right? On the shoulders of the shepherd. And the shepherd is already rejoicing, and when he gets home, he doesn't stop rejoicing. Instead, he says, I need somebody to help me get the invites out. Right? I need somebody to help me get the invites out. I want to invite the whole neighborhood. I want to invite all my friends. They didn't have, you know, cell phones in Jesus' day. So they needed a bunch of people to get the word out. And they have a party. And what does Jesus say? He says, you know, there's more joy in heaven among the angels over one sinner who repents than there is over 99 who live under the assumption that they need no repentance at all. Oh, by the way, I have another story for you, Jesus says. Because when he talks about a shepherd, a guy, he likes to talk about, well, a woman. Luke always pairs these stories together, right? So you got the shepherd finding, and the tension is building, the suspense. Because first it's one out of 100 lost. And now there's this woman who has this headdress. She's lost the coin. And in the house where there's not lots of light, where it's dark, she's going to light a lamp because we all need the lamp. God's word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path, right? We need the lamp. We need the light. She lights it. And remember, the floor was dirt and all kinds of other stuff, you know. I mean, scraping through that stuff? Ooh. To find the coin so that the headdress could be complete again. And then, of course, the parable, the story that's not in our gospel reading for tonight is when a father, well, one out of two. But by the time we get to the end of the prodigal story, what do we discover? Oh, my goodness. It wasn't one out of 100. It wasn't one out of 10. It wasn't even one out of two. It was two out of two. No one is righteous. No, not one. All have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God in Christ Jesus is eternal life. God is in the lost and found business. Not because he's lost us, but because we human beings have a tendency of losing ourselves, losing our minds, losing our lives. A pastor by the name of Ernest tells this story. It was right before Christmas, and people were all excited, you know, about the festivities. It was kind of a dark, dreary night, because you know in December, especially around Christmas, it starts to get dark early. And it was cold, but there was lots of things happening at the church. And Pastor Ernest, he notices that in one of the hallways, by this great big door, heavy, thick wooden door that went outside, here's a little kid, 2 years old, trying to push to get out, crying up a storm. He went and he took the kid up in his arms. He said, "It's okay. I'll help you find your mom and dad." He realized the boy was lost, right? So he's looking around. He goes outside. He sees this old junker of a car that is speeding away. And suddenly it dawns on him. This is a child that has been left lost, abandoned. Pastor Ernest put the word out. And he got calls here, there, everywhere from people in the congregation said, "We're here." Nobody said, "Oh, but you know, it's almost Christmas time and we got all kinds of plans on our calendar, you know." Nobody said that in the church. They all said, "What do we need to do? This is a little two-year-old." They interrupted on the news there. This is in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Okay? They interrupted the evening news. And they said, "A boy's been lost." This is kind of like an Amber Alert thing. And the next day, Winston-Salem newspaper, front page, the picture of the little boy. And the headline, you know what the headline was? It was, "Last night, someone trusted the church." And the church showed up. Pastor Ernest said he never forgot that headline. Someone trusted the church, and the church showed up because lost people matter to God. Because the world, if it's going to have a future, and I don't just mean 10, 15 years here and now, if the world is going to have a future, if the world is going to be saved, well then, the bride of Christ, the lost who have been found, need to be actively finding and pursuing. I mean, if you're going to dig in garbage for hearing aids, for crying out loud, if we're going to be in a panic about trying to say, "Where did I put those garage door openers?" What about the little Annas that are 9 years old, that have never been to Sunday school and never been inside a church? And do we really believe in our heart of hearts that there's not somebody really close to us that hasn't been introduced to Jesus? I love those words. This man eats with sinners. He welcomes and receives them. You want to talk about all-inclusive? I'm a sinner, and so I qualify. And you're a sinner, and so you qualify. And what people sometimes misconstrue from Luke 15 is that because Jesus is all-inclusive that he turns a blind eye to sin. No, he came into the world to die on the cross for sin, to bring atonement between us and our Heavenly Father. Jesus never does it say in the Bible that Jesus welcomed and received sinning. It doesn't say that Jesus hosted an orgy and said, let's redefine human sexuality. Never does it say in the scriptures that Jesus said, well, I don't think that 2 or 3 keggers is enough if we're going to get plastered. I mean, let's get drunk and let's get wasted. Jesus doesn't say that. No, the beautiful thing about God's all-inclusive nature is that those who are qualified sinners are invited to repent. The lost are found. The unsaved are saved. Because the church, the bride of Christ, remembers the Great Commission. Go baptize all people everywhere. Teach them to observe everything that I've commanded you, and you're not going to get out of my sight. You know that, right? I'm with you always. You can't shake Jesus. He's your good shepherd. Norman Vincent Peale, last story I'm going to share with you tonight, because Jesus shared 3, so I thought I should share 3. Norman Vincent Peale, years ago when he was at a Methodist conference, a church conference in Atlanta, Georgia, he was one of 5 pastors speaking, and his topic was that Jesus Christ can change anyone and everything. When we have Jesus, change is always possible. And so, he preached, and then the 5 of them as pastors, they went into the one pastor's office, and they were visiting, and they were talking, and they were praying. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door, and it was an elder of the church. He said, there's somebody out here that wants to visit with you pastors. He said, but I got to warn you, he reeks of alcohol. I mean, he hasn't shaved, he hasn't bathed. I just want to warn you. And the pastor said, bring him in. So he came in, and this disheveled man, reeking of alcohol, looked at Norman Vincent Peale and said, do you really believe that Jesus can help me? And Norman Vincent Peale said, yes, I do. He's in the lost and found business. Will you pray for me? And so the pastors laid hands on and they prayed. And then the man left. And one of the 5 pastors, who was a bishop in the Methodist church, he looked at the other 4 pastors and he said, I guess we're all kidding ourselves if we really think this man is going to change. And Norman Vincent Peale said, there you had it. Right there in the clergy cloth, 5 of us meeting there, right? And he doubted the transforming power of Almighty God. 6 months later, Clearwater, Florida, never been there. Some of you maybe know where it is. Clearwater, Florida, Norman Vincent Peale happened to be in the lobby of a hotel, and someone from the distance is kind of smiling, waving a little bit, and is approaching Norman Vincent Peale. He's dressed in a 3-piece suit. He's got a little girl on this hand, a little girl on this hand, and they're dressed so nice, and they're so well-behaved. And then when they get closer, I mean really close, right? Peale says, I recognize them. The derelict from Atlanta. And you know what the man is doing? Norman Vincent Peale said he never forgot that gift of God. Lost people matter to God. And this man, Messiah Jesus, salvation in no other name, this man welcomes and receives sinners. And he eats with them. And when the lost are found, when the dead are made alive, well, then you're going to know about repentance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have a song insert in your bulletin.